Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves for July 5th. I'm Tom Schreier, co-founder of ZoneCoverage.com. With me on the phone is Colt Molesky. Colt, what did you do for the 4th of July?
I hung out with the grandparents on the lake, just sat back, opened up a couple cold ones, and enjoyed the view.
Yeah, that's awesome. And whereabouts were you?
Up in Crosby, Ironton, far north. This is about as far north as I am looking to go ever.
Well, you're basically in Canada.
Yeah, pretty much. There's a lot of maple syrup up here.
No, that's awesome. That's our very own Brandon Warren, for any Twins fans out there. He does Twins coverage for us, often hosts the Zone Coverage staff podcast. He's from up in Roseau, I always tell him. It's nice of him to come down to the United States every once in a while. We're up that far. But yeah, I know people have kind of far and wide, probably up at the cabins, those listening in from Minnesota. I was on a lake in Shoreview watching some amateur fireworks, which are always the best kind of fireworks. We were talking on the staff pod. Colton was just on it today, talking about, what was it, cheap danger is always the most fun danger?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately,
you want to make sure that you're inexpensively hurting yourself.
Right, exactly. Unfortunately, the Wolves may be endeavoring into some danger of their own, but it is not inexpensive. They are maxing out the cap, throwing a lot of money around in this now money-flushed NBA. And, I don't know. What are your thoughts? I mean, kind of just cumulatively, and then we'll get into CJ Miles and some other things the team can do to continue to improve in the offseason. But what are your thoughts on just kind of the people are talking about, you know, the Wolves are made in the Tibbs image, just kind of what he's done with this team?
Well, I think that the first couple of years you saw that he was given a team that was drafted for somebody else. And he was making do with a lot of young talent, a lot of young guys. I think 2 years ago, the average age of the Timberwolves was like 21 or 22, something like that. So a really young team. And now you see he's kind of weeded out the guys he knows he wants to build around. Obviously, Towns, Wiggins, and then some guys he wants to keep around. He's really liked Tyus Jones, which he's made clear over the last really like 6 months, I would say. But and now he's found the guys that he can trade the guys he can trade for and the guys he really likes. He obviously loves Jimmy Butler, got Taj Gibson. So he's starting to really build around the guys he's fallen in love with over the last couple of years and put some pieces that he thinks will make the defense better, I believe.
Yeah, this is not surprising. I mean, he comes in and understands that he has basically two big pieces to deal with. He's got Karl-Anthony Towns, who I think is a generational type talent. Certainly beloved already, I believe, in the Twin Cities. If not, you know, the funny thing is, if not nationally or internationally, I mean, he has a fan base, I believe, in China. I'm sure people, you know, the NBA is a national brand. It's also becoming a player's brand. And I think there's a lot of people, I mean, I always am conscious of doing this show that, you know, yeah, we assume we got listeners from Minnesota, but there's listeners from all over. And it's kind of, you know, one of those things where he's captured the imagination, or just people really fall in love with his personality all around the U.S. And then Andrew Wiggins, who some feel, I do believe that there's defensive potential that can be tapped into there, but maybe a better athlete. Now, I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but it makes a lot of sense that Tibbs is bringing in the Taj Gibsons of the world. Certainly the Jimmy Butlers. You'd do that even if he wasn't an ex-Bull. But guys that really have his – and, you know, Jeff Teague is not a player that he coached. But you got to think, you know, Jeff Teague seems to have kind of – there's had to be something where Tibbs kind of fell in love with him. But I'm fine with this. I'm fine with him. He's in control. We know who's calling the shots here. I'm fine with him bringing these guys in and trying to tap into that potential, especially with Wiggins, but also with Towns on the defensive end.
Well, and Teague, too, if you're looking at film of Teague, maybe he's not the best just straight-up lockdown defender, but he's a ball hawk. He's going to get his hands on the ball. He's going to poke stuff away. He's going to get a lot of steals. He has a knack for if guys are driving or cutting along the back line to get to the hoop, getting blocks. He gets hands on a basketball, and I think that was the other thing too that Tibbs was seeing when they're going after Teague was not only is he going to improve the shooting at the point guard position, but he's also going to get some turnovers. And if you got a couple solid defenders and that one guy that can get turnovers, that's a really good looking defense.
What's left to do? I mean, I got to imagine that the pick that Minnesota traded to Utah for Rubio, got in return for in that trade, that he's going to package that pick and Cole Aldrich to make a move. I mean, do you think Gorgui Dieng's in play here, or do you think it's for sure the pick and Aldrich that'll move?
I would say Gorgui Dieng, just because the next year's draft, I think, is going to be a lot more similar to the draft a couple years ago, where you really want to be in that top three, top eight kind of range there, as opposed to this year's draft, where potentially the top 15 picks are going to be money. So I think next year you're going to want to package a couple players together with a pick to try and move up, because Utah is definitely going to take a dip as after Hayward leaves the team for Boston, but I don't think they're going to be so much so that you want to hang on to that spot that Utah's at, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And, you know, the one weird thing here, too, is that, first of all, the division is not going to be a joke. We're going to talk a lot about the Western Conference and how imbalanced it is with the East and whatnot and what the Hayward move means. Hayward stays with Utah. Utah might be a better team. Denver's gone out and got Millsap. I think they're going to be kind of sneaky good. Like, if you sleep on them.
Denver's going to be a fun team.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it blows my mind that Paul George goes to Oklahoma City. But any team with Russell Westbrook, I have claimed this all along as someone who's been fortunate enough to cover the Wolves, I think for 5 years now, it's been a while, Russell Westbrook is my favorite player to watch live. I understand how good LeBron James is, and I understand Steph Curry taking these threes from, you know, a different zip code is an amazing feat. But Russell Westbrook, just like he is, however much he weighs, it's just like he's got so much energy and so much just drive to win. Didn't back down. I've told people this before, I think, on this podcast. I was actually in San Francisco when Golden State and the Thunder played. And, you know, he's not backing down from Durant and that super team. That's always a force to be reckoned with. And probably they're competing with them potentially kind of for 5-6 seed or the 5-4 seed if the Wolves get that far along. The division's no joke, right? I mean, they really have to worry about the teams that they're competing against directly in their division.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that you're mentioning, obviously, teams that are going to be good, the Thunder with Paul George now and Russell Westbrook. Those are teams that are going to be solid. But you got to think, too, if you're looking at the entire division and the entire conference, teams like the Dallas Mavericks, who they now have Dennis Smith Jr., who a lot of people were saying was the most athletic player in the draft going in, and you had a stacked draft like we've talked about, and now you have Dirk, you have Harrison Barnes was good at the end of the year, you have Seth Curry on that team, Nerlens Noel on the defensive side. So even teams like Dallas, who were an outlier, they were at the 11th spot in the Western Conference when all was said and done, are going to be teams that are vying for the 8th spot. You've got New Orleans with Boogie and Anthony Davis on the same team. Trailblazers have that backcourt of C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. So there's just a lot of teams in the Western Conference. Maybe top to bottom, their entire roster isn't great, but their starting five can do some damage, and there's going to be a lot of wins in this Western Conference. So I think it's going to be a pretty thin margin between the fourth team in the playoffs for the West and the eighth team.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even mention Portland in that conversation within the division. We obviously should get West to East pretty soon here. But Portland's a team, I think, very well coached, really fun backcourt, mismanaged. I mean, I think they spent to the cap with a team that really doesn't have a lot of upside. Do you worry about Portland at all that they could maneuver the roster a little bit? They got pieces to work around.
They spent $80 million on Allen Crabbe. I'm just going to leave it at that for what their front office is doing for them. I do think, though, that they have had problems finding a player who can do some work in the post since LaMarcus Aldridge left for the Spurs. But if they can get – they just drafted Caleb Swanigan and Zach Collins, two guys I absolutely love for their front court in this last draft. And both those guys are really flexible at position. Both can go from center to the three. They can play all those positions. And so I think if they just have some young talent like those two guys really hit in the front court to pair with that offensive, just that offensive brilliance of Lillard and McCollum in their backcourt, I think they could be a really fun team. And I think they could be a team that sneaks in that 8-7 spot and could actually do something this year. They obviously got swept by the Warriors, and they weren't being the Warriors anyways. But if they have a front court to challenge the Warriors as opposed to just trying to get into a shooting match between backcourts, I think that's a more interesting series.
Yeah, so, I mean, going back to how this related to the pick, it's weird when you trade within the division, not only because literally every player that plays for the Wolves comes back here and just dominates. Like, they have the best game of their life in Minnesota. Now, part of that could be that the Wolves were just bad. But I think part of it is just, like, these guys are motivated kind of by revenge. Don't tell me what Russell Westbrook wasn't, you know, jacked up for this game. He probably knew he was going to lose against Golden State. But he's not. I don't even know if he's talked to Kevin Durant since. I'm sure he has. But, you know, I think it's these guys are motivated by that a little bit. Ricky Rubio has gone, and I do want to touch on this a little bit, has gone from a player who we just kind of knew, I think Tibbs probably, as a guy who took his sabbatical, was picking up those paychecks from the Bulls after he had been fired there. I'm sure he went around the league and not only saw kind of how the point guard is used in every offense, at least, you know, the smart coaches, the guys who let him in, who he trusts. He also probably took a look at Ricky Rubio, maybe even without having the job. It was just like, this is a problem Minnesota's going to have. You're a guy who's been kind of anti-Rubio. Most of our staff, I would say, I know Timmy and Zach for sure are. You can listen to Wolves Wired. They talked about him a lot. But, you know, I kind of sat on the pro-Rubio line, but I'm fine with an upgrade or even if it's kind of a lateral move with Jeff Teague. But, you know, he probably looked and just said in a playoff series that's going to be isolated. They're going to take away his passing lanes. They're going to slow the game down so he's not whipping the ball around in transition. But what are your thoughts just seeing that Ricky Rubio going from a player that we knew Tibbs wasn't on board with to a guy that literally Utah used? Joe Ingles, by the way, if you want to look at his Twitter account, tweeted out a hilarious picture of Ricky Rubio sleeping on the airplane, that the private jet that they took down to meet Hayward. But what do you think of that? That they're just using him as a centerpiece. They're trying to retain this great player in Gordon Hayward. And that Ricky Rubio, with now his new hairdo and his big beard and his weird lion tattoo, might be out for revenge with Minnesota.
Well, first of all, if you're Utah, the guy you just brought in, why is that the best guy and the best option you have to keep Hayward on the team? Like, there wasn't any other Utah players that wanted to try and keep Hayward on the roster, really?
I think he went to, I mean, Joe Ingles had to be part of it because he took the tweet. I believe there was someone else who was part of that, too. It is
well,
just
then you have the Instagram from Gobert with
Gobert
him waving to the song, These Hoes Ain't Loyal. It is just... the way that ended after the preceding days, like two or three days before Hayward left, it was a little strange, and you knew he definitely wasn't going back the way the team and some of the teammates were hashing it out on social media.
So I look at it like this. We knew. It is funny that, I mean, and it's, you know, to be fair, I mean, anyone in Minnesota, even if you're not a Wild fan, probably remembers the 4th of July when they landed, you know, Suter and Parisi. But it is funny that, A, the offseason, you know, kind of the gut of the moves takes place right now. I know people are off, but they also might be away. We were just talking about watching fireworks. You were up north. I was on the lake. Like, I know a lot of people, even people outside of Minnesota who are listening, may be going away from civilization for a little while. And, you know, certainly with our website, we really didn't publish a lot around the 4th because we knew, even with the 3rd and whatnot, people are busy. And so we put enough out there that if you wanted to read it, you could. But also we understood people kind of detached a little bit. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, first of all, is it weird that free agency is now? And secondly, we'll get to the Gordon Hayward, why he chose Boston.
I don't think it's weird, just because I think that if you're in the front office of any of the big sports, I think you're working around the year anyway.
Right, right.
And every holiday doesn't really exist to you while you're in the front office of these. But I also do like how, and I know this might offend some baseball fans, but these are the dog days of summer. And so I like that the NBA free agency has really bridged the gap between the end of the NBA finals and kind of the revving up of the MLB season to where it's right before playoffs and college football starting and everything like that. So that the NBA free agency happening over the 4th of July weekend and into the middle of July has really bridged the gap sports-wise between what's happening over the summer.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And then in terms of Gordon Hayward, it sounds like he was down to Miami Heat, staying with Utah, going to Boston. Bill Simmons had a funny tweet where he was basically like, you know, if he stays with the Jazz, he's bought into the program. If he goes to Boston, it's about Brad Stevens and the Butler connection. If he goes to Miami, he's saying, look, man, I just spent a whole bunch of time in Utah. I'm going to have some fun, man. Should not crack it. Apparently Utah, I've heard some people, especially guys I know who ski, love that city, Salt Lake City. But, regardless, I mean, what do you think of the decision he made? How does it impact the Wolves? And do you like him reuniting in Boston?
I do like him going to Boston. I think he'll fit really well there with Horford and Thomas. And Stevens, obviously his coach at Butler, who will be coaching him for the Celtics, I thought it was the move that made the most sense for him too. Just because you see all these all-star level players head to the West, why would you want to stay in the West? I mean, now with that move, Boston are they better than Cleveland? Maybe they edge them out a little bit as the number one team. Obviously, LeBron James is on Cleveland, so. The number one player in the world being on a team gives you a significant edge, but with the roster Boston has and how deep their bench is and their rotation over a year, they can do a lot of things with Hayward. They can make sure that they're not wearing him out before the playoffs or any of their starters for that matter. And I just really like that now Boston, instead of Crowder, who I love Crowder, but he threw up a ton of bricks. Instead of Crowder, they can have Hayward in that spot. That makes them a really solid roster. And so I think this was the move if you want to go out and get a ring in the West, or not the West, the East, this was the move for him. And just to get out of the Western Conference and not have to play the Warriors in the playoffs is a big win too.
Let's touch on that, because there's been a lot written about how the West is so stacked. And this directly affects the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are in the arms race right now. There's no backing off. Thibs can't say, I was taking a look at a few things and, you know, what. He's all in. And in order to get Glenn Taylor to really spend in the luxury tax, he has to win now. It is poor business practice to go, you know, into the luxury tax, especially as the 15th largest TV market, I believe Minneapolis-St. Paul is. To go into the luxury without a good team. I don't think you should do it in L.A. or New York. We always talk about how L.A. and New York. We were talking about Dallas. Dallas should leave open a little bit of cap space just because Dallas doesn't have an income tax and it's a sweet city in a very warm area that's booming. Houston that's probably true. Shouldn't either, right? I mean, you look down the line, you got to be responsible with your money in the NBA. And now Tibbs is all in, going in the West. What do you think about that imbalance, both from the Wolves' perspective, but also you're an NBA fan at large? Are you upset about this? Does the Hayward move make this any better? And just generally, it just seems funny that teams are very willing to take on a very smart, efficient, powerful Golden State Warriors club, and they're afraid of LeBron and a team without a GM.
Well, I think the fascinating part about this free agency is last year, everybody assumed it was going to cap would go up because it went up last year, and everybody assumed it was going to go up this year. So they're spending all this money, which you could probably spend a whole other podcast on this, but it's fascinating seeing all these teams trapped under bad contracts that now they can't get out of because this year's cap doesn't go up and they don't have a ton of money to spend. And so I think you'll see a lot of teams over this season and next season go into the luxury tax and spend a lot of money because really – what else are you supposed to do against the Warriors? These next few years are not the years where you can draft a bunch of guys and hope that they hit to beat the dominant team. Sorry, Sacramento, but that's not going to work out for you. You've got to have all-star talent on this roster to even compete with the Warriors, much less beat them. And so I think you see these players going over to the West, not only because there's some nice up-and-coming teams. Obviously, you see the Wolves with the duo of Wiggins and Towns being a draw. You have the Rockets with Harden and Eric Gordon as the sixth man of the year coming up. He's on his way up. I think he'll be a really good player for the next couple of years. So there's teams with really good pieces, but then there's just teams willing to pay a lot of money. Clippers paid Blake Griffin, somebody who has had, 28,000 surgeries on his lower body. They pay him a five-year max and $173 million, $172 million. So you just see teams are buckling down, and you can really tell the difference, too, between the teams who are saying, okay, you know what, we're going to do what we can to try and get as many wins as we can and put us in the best spot to beat the Warriors, and the teams are just like, we're going to weather the storm. I think the Kings, Lakers, and Suns are three teams who are saying, we're going to weather the storm, we're going to let our young guys develop, and yeah, we're probably not going to have a big impact on this conference for a few years, but once the Warriors are old and they've all kind of broken up, we're going to have a bunch of young guys who have got a bunch of years under their belt and now can do something.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. In terms of the East, you alluded to this. Do you think the Celtics are a legitimate threat to the Cavs, or do you see them as kind of like a pest, or maybe like, you know, some injury or something happens to Cleveland and the Celtics take over?
I think they are, and really a lot of this too depends on how Isaiah Thomas comes back from that hip injury, because I think it was a lot more serious than people let on when it initially happened. But I think they're a serious contender to maybe dethrone the Cavaliers going back to back with the Warriors.
Right.
And the other thing about the East too is, and we talked about this a little bit last time we were on Lockdown Wolves, is after Cleveland and the Wizards and the Celtics and probably the Raptors again. Outside of those four teams, the East doesn't really have a lot of talented teams coming up. So Boston can really play this out as smart as they possibly can, give their guys as much rest as they can throughout the regular season, get a one or two seed fairly easily, and then really bring their A game for the playoffs.
Yeah, makes sense to me. I like Washington. Other than that, I don't think the East is that great. Just looking at the West playoff picture, there was a lot of talk about how, first of all, I think it's a little bit of a flawed argument, but that, you know, there weren't many playoff games this year, because it was kind of clear, you know, it was Cleveland and Golden State all over again. And I understand there is a revenue loss. I think places like Awful Announcing, for example, do a really good job of breaking this down. But at the same time, because you had two dominant teams, you probably had a lot of people that wouldn't be watching the NBA watching because of LeBron, because of Steph, you know, the Cavs and the Warriors. Do you see more playoff games in the West now? Do you think it's gotten that much more tougher where now second round, even maybe the first round matter?
I really hope so, just as a basketball fan. It's just so hard. The Warriors have done so much. The Warriors have been as busy as any team this offseason. And so as much as I think the other teams will be interesting in the West, I think anybody who plays the Warriors has real potential to get swept. Again, I think the Warriors could potentially go into next year's finals without a loss again.
God.
And it's just because we've talked about it so many times. They have so many guys back. They have so many veterans. Livingston came back on a cheap deal. They had West come back on a veteran's minimum again. They had somebody come back on a veteran's minimum 2 years in a row. I didn't even think that was possible.
Right.
And so they've just been doing so many things. Even the Warriors even got Swaggy P.
Right.
Just
right.
Today, just a couple hours ago, they signed Swaggy P. They're just getting all kinds of guys who can not only shoot, but they're going to add a little spark on defense. And so I honestly don't know if anybody in the West can still compete with the Warriors, just because their front office is doing such a good job keeping valuable pieces around these four all-stars that they have.
Yeah, it's something else. I'm hoping it becomes more competitive. I do. Listen, it doesn't need to turn into hockey. Hockey is its own thing. We love the triple overtime, you know, games and the parity in that league in the NHL. But I would like to see a little more. I am curious how the West plays out. I understand there's going to be the cynics who say, why do I watch the regular season or even really the playoffs when I kind of know who the final two teams are? I'm not as certain of this now. I'm obviously very, very curious where the Wolves go from here. I'm also just curious, just does the Houston thing work out? What about Paul George and Russell Westbrook? Is that the start of something, or are they kind of building chemistry for when they go to LA? You know, like, are there, I mean, I'm kind of kidding, but not really. Are there?
Not really.
Right. Just how the rest of the Wolves division pans out and does the Millsap deal end up looking good? You know, what does Portland do? Do they have to move a guy in the backcourt in order to make that work?
Well, the other thing too, is if you're the Timberwolves office, and for some reason, obviously with teams like Utah taking a dip here, you think they might have a chance at the 6th, 5th seed. But if the Wolves come in at the 8th seed and they get swept right away by the Warriors, does the office hold that against Tibbs, or are they just happy to make the playoffs? Like, those are things, too, that you have to take into account.
Yeah, I wish that was last year. I wish last year was a 41-41, 42-40 season. They sneak into the playoffs. They get beat. The guys learn what playoff basketball is like, because it's going to be very, very different. Now, they should have more season ticket holders. They should have more of that arena filled out, assuming that they win as many games, and it could be up to 50 as they're expected to. But it's going to be a different feeling in the playoffs. I mean, it's been a long time. It's 13 years. But as someone who grew up here, I do remember that. And I also think we saw shades of that when KG came back. That's kind of the electricity, but you get that for 3 to 4 games, depending on what seed you are. So I think if they make the playoffs, the Tibbs regime is fine. It's not ideal. You would like to grab the 6-5-4 seed where you think you could actually win the first series. But I think if they get swept by the Warriors in the first round, you go, all right, this group learned what playoff basketball is like. This is what we have to do in the offseason. You know, I mean, we're going to learn a lot about the Wolves, and I think a lot will change in a year. Real quick, before we kind of wrap up with where the Wolves go from here, let's talk briefly about this Justin Patton injury. We found out about it afterwards, I believe from a press release. He is going to miss Summer League, which is a relatively big deal. This is a time when young players can kind of play among their peers, where the Tyus Joneses of the world, for example, you know, are allowed to have a superstar moment.
Has anybody checked on Alex Berg? Is he okay?
Alex Berg! Where's Alex Berg?
Justin Patton is his guy. Is he okay? Get off the cliff.
I heard Alex Berg actually performed the surgery. That's what I heard. It's just a rumor. It's not on Twitter.
Holding Patton's hand.
He was there for him. He's like, I got you, buddy. I got you. we got to page Alex Berg down here real quick. But anyways, the point being is that this is a guy who probably will spend a lot of time in Iowa. Probably will need a lot of development. He grew so quickly. He kind of had that redshirt freshman year. The adjustment to the NBA is huge. Guys like Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins make it look easy. It's not easy. And I think the injury is a big deal. I just think it is. And, I mean, do you have any takes on this? We don't need to. We're not burying his career. He could have a very fine career from here on out. But missing out on that time in summer league, I think that's a pretty big deal.
No, it is. It is important to get, just to get reps, no matter what sport you're in. Getting reps is always a positive. Nobody ever suffered from getting reps in games that didn't really matter. And the other thing too is, if you're injuring your foot, he plays center, and if he's on the Wolves, he's going to be playing a lot of center or your power forward. But he's going to be underneath the glass, guys jumping around. He's going to have a lot of impact on his foot. Guys landing on his foot. So just going forward, if you're the coaching staff, you've got to be very careful with this, because you want this. He was the 16th pick in the draft. It's not like they took him in the second round. You want this guy to pan out and at least be able to hold some substance of minutes for the team moving forward. So you might not see him for the first couple months of the year, even just playing it safe with this guy and making sure he doesn't take a wrong hit on his foot right away after coming back in the first few weeks of basketball.
No, it makes sense. And they can go easy on him. I don't think he was expected to be a starter on opening day or anything like that. You know, I think this is a long-term project. Real quick to wrap up, where do you see the Wolves going from here? What moves do they need to make? And kind of, yeah, what do you foresee in the near future here?
Well, the look right now is that it seems like they're pursuing a little bit C.J. Miles. I haven't seen if they're really, really serious about him or if they're just kind of looking around to see what's left on the market. But C.J. Miles coming in off of the Pacers roster, I'm not sure how I feel about the move. He's a small forward, averaged 10 points a game last season and 9.8 points a game throughout his career. Not a ton of rebounds or assists, so if they bring him in, they're looking for Taj Gibson to do a lot of the dirty work and somebody like C.J. Miles to just get a few buckets coming off the bench. And he averages about 20 minutes off the bench, so he'll probably, I'm guessing somebody like him will probably play like 10 to 16 minutes. So just somebody to really keep bolstering that bench, which I like. I think you don't want to leave yourself high and dry after your starting five. Like the Wizards you saw last year, they really suffered when they had a super thin bench after that really great starting five they had. So I would like the move. I don't think it's a huge move. I think if they don't get him, it's not a super big deal. But if they do pick, if they're picking up bench guys, I mean, I have no problem with them having a really strong second five after them, obviously. So these moves aren't going to make or break the team, but they are moves that a front office that's really smart is making.
That makes sense to me. Any final thoughts?
Derrick Rose, I saw, was having meetings with the Spurs. Does Popovich break Derrick Rose's knees again if the Spurs get him?
Oh, my God. It's the way for him to go. I was a huge Derrick Rose fan. I understand he's had some off the court issues and certainly some knee issues. But you know what I mean? We always talk about the Spurs players that pan out. A lot of them don't. But this is what the Wolves want to be eventually. I'm not advocating for the Rubio Derrick Rose trade at all. I'm just saying, generally speaking, the Wolves want to be a place where potentially a player, whether it's on the court or off the court or both, this player has issues, has talent, resurrects their career. The Spurs are one of those places where they seem to figure that out.
Also, final thought. Yeah. I am looking all over the place on where I can gamble on the Draymond Green Swaggy P fights, and I haven't found anything yet, but I'll keep you updated.
No, this information will need to come out. That'll be the next show. For Colton Molesky, I'm Tom Schreier. This has been Locked On Wolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.